Hello and welcome to the Outthink Tribe Building interview series. Today we're going to talk with Pam Slim of Escape from Cubicle Nation and learn about how she started her online platform, about how she launched her book, and also what she's doing to plan for her next book. If you haven't already, be sure to sign up for our email newsletter to get future interviews along with our tribe building workshop that we send out every week. You can do that at outthinkgroup.com. That's outthinkgroup.com. Without further ado, here's the interview with Pam Slim. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with your site, how you got started in coaching, and kind of where the idea of Escape from Cubicle Nation came from.
Sure. Well, my site definitely came as a result of wanting to specifically make a career shift and a shift in my business. So I've been self-employed now for about 14 years, since 1996. And the first 10 years of my business, I was a consultant to large corporations. So I was paid by them, and I did lots of work throughout hundreds of companies all throughout the U.S. And I loved it. It was really exciting. I actually enjoyed the work that I did. When it started to come to an end, there were a couple natural things happening. One of them is I found that systemically a lot of people were very unsatisfied with corporate life, and yet they really didn't know how to work for themselves. A lot of people would come to me quietly and ask how I started my own business and how I did my consulting. And the other thing was I had made a decision to move from San Francisco, which is where I'm from, to Arizona when I met and fell in love with my husband, and we knew we wanted to have kids, and I definitely wanted to be shifting into a business model that didn't require me to travel. So I had the gem of interest and the spark to be writing about the topic of entrepreneurship specifically for people that were corporate entrepreneurs. And I knew that I really wanted to be building up a virtual practice where, and I couldn't rely on my past network, even though it was extensive, because that wouldn't have been very ethical, right, to go to my corporate clients and try to take their employees to be in my new blog. So I truly was starting from zero. And interestingly, too, I started my blog in October of 2005, and my maiden name is Stewart. So I think maybe the first couple of posts I had my maiden name, and then I changed to my married name of Pamela Slim. So I really was starting from scratch in all ways. Pamela Slim wasn't known at all. It was a new name for me, and that was really the beginning of the branding. So the reason I started the blog was the result of taking a class. I did it with Suzanne Falter Barnes, who at the time was offering a class about how to distinguish yourself online, how to develop a brand, and everything was totally, totally new to me. I actually had never read a blog before. I didn't know what a blog was before I was given the assignment to create one for myself. And it was before the huge rise of social media, Twitter and Facebook and all of that. You know, there was a little bit bubbling, but I was very unaware of it. So when I started, my intention when I first began was just to begin to share messages, all the stuff that I've been thinking about, that I've been talking to people about for 10 years, and to begin to develop a body of work online, and also to begin to develop a presence so that people could hire me as a coach, and a coach that obviously I could do the coaching work over the phone. So that was the intention of why I started the blog, was really to get known virtually, to begin to build up my client base. And I actually had no idea at that point that it would turn into a book.
You said you started putting your message out there so you could get clients. Like, how did you start getting people to find your posts and stuff as you start putting them up on your blog?
Well, it's a good question. Some of it is just the power of Google, I think, where in the early stages, for probably the first 6 months or so that I wrote my blog, I had very, very few readers. And I just had dinner with my dad in San Francisco a couple days ago, and he was my first reader. You know, it was my immediate family and a few of my friends, some people who I had known personally as part of my corporate consulting that I would share that I was working on my blog. But I think I need to kind of remember that story now, because when people ask how I got my first clients, I think it was just people, you know, randomly tripping over a blog post that I wrote. And I had a very basic service page. I was just offering one-on-one coaching at that time. I'm sure that there were a few referrals of people that I might have known from the past that referred me, but it started out very slow. I actually, about the first year that I was blogging, I had my son, so I had my baby son, and I was officially on maternity leave, you know, where I didn't have a pressure in order to be working a lot. So a lot of what I was doing was really building relationships, building a big body of content. And I didn't have the expectation that first year that I was going to be doing a lot of client work. But I did, after about the first 6 months or so, began to get sources for clients. And that definitely picked up when I had a few of my blog posts picked up by really big bloggers like Seth Godin and Guy Kawasaki. When they posted about me, it definitely tapped me into a huge network that just didn't know of me before. And once they came to my blog, and I had at that point been writing content for a few months, a lot of them then ended up joining, becoming readers, and that was really the early roots of my following.
So when did you get your book contract?
I got my book contract I started talking with them in the end of 2006, I think it was December, and my publisher, Penguin Portfolio, approached me because of my blog, so they approached me saying that asking if I'd want to do a book, and I started talking to them in December, and then we closed the deal, I think in January of 2007, and then I finished the book on Halloween, and then it came out in April of 2009.
Tell me a little bit about your book when it came out. Like, how were sales? Where do you think they came from? Just kind of give me a rundown of what happened when your book came out and how the launch went and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, the launch went well. I had, so at the point where it came out in April of 2009, I had a number of different readers. Obviously, I had my whole pool of my blog readership, and I had a specific group of them, a kind of a subgroup that I call my Escape from Cubicle Nation Advisory Council, which was people who volunteered to be pestered more frequently by me. I basically put them on an email list, and I asked them questions as I was actually writing the book and developing the book, and they contributed a lot of ideas and feedback and so forth. And so this group was one of kind of the early, you know, my backbone group who was really providing feedback. I know when the book came out, there was a lot of grassroots support based on those folks as well, because they had been contributing. They were really aware of the message in the group. So besides my overall blog readership, which I knew were really helpful in pre-sales for the book, I did a couple posts when we were at the point where we wanted to do some pre-sales that helped. The advisory council really got the message out. And then as I got on Twitter, I got on a little bit later than some folks had, but Twitter was really, really effective as well for spreading the message. And so I consciously didn't do a huge push to do one of the, you know, Amazon campaigns or like trying to hit the number one lists. I talked a lot with my team at Portfolio and the publicists, and we really believe for Escape that it's a little bit more of a slow burn kind of a book. We did well. You know, we kind of exceeded our expectations in terms of what it is that we wanted to sell, and there's been a, you know, pretty consistent sales that have continued since that time, and we've sold the rights in a, you know, a couple different countries. It won Best Small Business Entrepreneur Book of 2009 from 800 CEO Read, and it got a lot of really good mainstream press, so it's been helped by, I think, a lot of those things. But for me, what gives the weight and the longevity to the book is the connection that I have with the readers. I get emails to this day from all over the world where somebody will write and say, you know, I found your book in the library, or I'm in Oman, you know, in a cube, and it sounds exactly like what it is that you describe. And I really believe that, and many, many of those people that send the individual emails will say, I'm recommending it to everybody that I talk to who's in the same situation. And if you think about network theory, and if you think about grassroots change, which is personally what I'm a big advocate for, I know that the book is continuing to really creep out through time. So it, you know, I'm not sure the total, I think it's sold, you know, something around 25,000 copies or something. So far, it's a little hard sometimes for those of you in the publishing industry to know, you know, to really track the full statistics as you look at buybacks from stores and returns and all of those things. But, you know, collectively it's done well. I know that people in the publishing industry were telling me at the beginning that the expectation for a first-time author is to sell at least 10,000 copies, which is considered pretty good. So I feel good about it. And that said, I'm also really thinking strategically about how I want to be positioning the next book so that I maybe do a few things different to really push for more sales.
Well, so looking at when your book came out, you know, you talked a lot about not only your grassroots support and having kind of your inner team, but also it seemed like a lot of people were drawn to your message. And you mentioned that, you know, getting the message out on Twitter and just getting the message out on your blog. When people come to your site, they know exactly who you're talking to. How important do you think that is of crafting the message? Did you spend a lot of time on yours? And just looking around, you know, how important do you think that is? And what do you think goes into coming up with the right message so that you'll have something to spread?
It is the essence of everything. It's everything. And it's not just crafting the right message. It's not just a matter of choosing the right language in order to appeal to people who you want to sell books to. It has to do with choosing the kind of work that you want to be writing about or the kind of stories that you want to be writing about in your book that you feel deeply proud to be talking about, that you have a long-term commitment to sharing. Authors who are listening who have written books before, you know, with a publishing cycle, you're talking about your book for many years. Right? You're thinking about it, you're talking to agents about it, you write the dang thing, and then you give it to the publisher, and then it finally comes out, and within the next couple of years, you're often sharing the messages from the book. And so if you're just writing something to kind of ride the wave on a topic or to capitalize on something where you don't deeply feel it in your gut, it will totally burn you out, and you will get so sick of talking about your particular book. And I think that is felt. I think people can really, really feel the difference between an author that's just going through all of the right steps in order to appear in the places where their book buyers are likely to be versus somebody who you can feel is really, really committed to the book that they're selling, where they stand behind the words, they care about the people that they're serving, and it's not just rote. I think that's a differentiator.
You talk about getting your message out. One of the arguments I would give is that from looking at your examples, you started your blog 5 years ago, and blogging is totally different now than it was 5 years ago. And same thing, like you said, you were, you know, Twitter's out now, Facebook's much bigger than it was. You know, if somebody was just getting started now, what would you say are the best ways to get the message out?
I think there's a concept of understanding where the pools of people who are your intended audience are. So back 5 years ago, you're right, there weren't so many people that were blogging. It wasn't such a common strategy that you would hear where everybody says you must start a blog. And it's a little bit harder to be heard throughout the noise of a lot of people that are sharing messages, in particular authors that are sharing messages. So, you know, the old school advice that I used to hear, and to some extent still makes sense from people that are talking about building up a following to your blog, is to create really great content on a consistent basis and to share that information freely and openly, right? Not just be pitching your ideas. And that, I think, is still fundamentally true. What creates a really great blog is a very clear point of view from an interesting person with content that totally helps your audience solve their problems, without buying your book or without hiring you as a consultant or coach or whatever it is that you're selling, right? If people don't have to buy your software that you're selling in order to get value, that still are definitely the legs underneath any kind of a blog even today. But in terms of really getting exposure more quickly, because there are so many more people out there, I would think about pools of people that are your ideal people and connecting with those that are already connected to those audiences. So as authors, our ideas often live within an ecosystem of different ideas, right, that are tied to other thinkers. It's often built on work that other people have built on. So I was talking today with a group about personal branding and was mentioning the work that Tom Peters did 10 or so years ago about personal branding. That came out in Fast Company magazine, and he really set the tone for a lot of the work that came after. And now, of course, we know there's a whole bunch of books on personal branding, The Brand Called You, and all of these different things. And a lot of that is built on a foundation of work. So you have people who have come before you who are sharing ideas. You also have an ecosystem of other authors. I know I run around in circles all the time with friends, but also co-authors. Chris Guillebeau, who just came out with The Art of Nonconformity, Jonathan Fields, who wrote Career Renegade, Chris Brogan, who wrote Trust Agents, a number of books on social media. A lot of us are, we have overlap in our audiences, but we're also in this ecosystem of people that are each sharing a little different perspective on a major trend. And the trend in this case is a lot of people who are reflecting on what work that they want to do, that are considering entrepreneurship, that want to leverage the tools of the internet in order to get their message out. And so if I know that I want to be tapped into an ecosystem of others that have my potential audience, I want to be building relationship with those that are really the gatekeepers or the friends or curators, whatever term you want to use, of those groups. And it's, once again, to come from a path of authenticity and not just getting a strategy and figuring out, all right, you know, who are the top five people in my market, and let me just do some things in order to kind of build a false relationship so they'll blog about me, that never works. It just never works. You have to truly be drawn to the people. You have to truly be interested in them, be curious about the ideas that they're working on, and you have to have some chemistry. And it's just like dating, right? And somebody who sounds really good on paper, who sounds like they'd be an interesting person that would be strategic to your audience, if you guys both don't feel that chemistry, it's not going to work. There's not going to be the reciprocity of wanting to help each other. So the process as an author, and this should go far before you even write your book, is where you're really trying to figure out, what is that ecosystem that I'm in? What ecosystem do I want to be in? Who are the people who would be really, really fun to hang out with? And when you can begin to think that way, you can look at the kinds of ideas that are shared, and then when you start to share your content, if you have some kind of a relationship with them, often, not always, it's never guaranteed, but often they also begin to share your ideas with their audience. And that's where you can get some benefits of a quicker growth in terms of people who might read your blog or people that are interested in your book.
Well, you mentioned putting your ideas out there in a way where they don't have to hire you or buy their book to get their questions answered. Is there ever a worry that you'll give too much away?
No. That's the short answer. The short answer is no. And the reason is there is always, always, always going to be a much broader market that is interested in your ideas and that wants help than the market that's willing to open up their checkbooks or their whip out their credit card in order to buy from you. There's always going to be that. Many people who, rightly so, are wanting to get as much information for free as they can. But when you have a good model, a good percentage that I've thought about a lot within my own path has been about 80-20, where 80% of what I'm sharing is for free, through blog posts and podcasts and speaking to people and doing teleclasses and free coaching calls, which I do once a month, things like that. If I'm consistently sharing really good information out there, there will be a 20% of that, of what I offer, that I can feel really, really good about charging a premium for. And of all the people that are out there in my overall market that are loving the message, that are making changes, that are integrating in the kind of information I'm sharing into their life, that is really what you want. People who say, this is great stuff. Maybe I can't afford it. Maybe I don't want to buy the book, but this is really great stuff. Because even those people who don't end up buying themselves can be really great at referring others when they really know what your message is. And it's just often a perspective a lot of people have, which I understand, which I think comes from the old school, you know, classic cutthroat competition, or thinking there's a finite pool of people that are out there that are, you know, willing to buy books, or that we all need to be looking at each other as competitors. Going back to my example before about ecosystems, theoretically, me and Chris and Jonathan and Chris Brogan, we could all look at each other like competitors, right? But that would be so stupid, because the more that I interact with them, the more that we do stuff together, the more that we share information, collectively, all of our audiences are growing because we're all part of pushing together an overall message into a world where there is so much more of a bigger market than we're actually serving today. One of the concepts that I think a lot of people get tripped up on, especially people that are active on social media, is they might say, oh my God, like every other person I run into is a social media consultant, right? Or everybody's a WordPress developer. So how in the world can I ever distinguish myself? And my answer is, if you live in this tiny closet that we live in, where we all talk to each other, you may think that everybody in the world is a WordPress developer. But in the real world out there, the majority of people have no idea what that even means. Yeah. And the opportunities for sharing your message are so much bigger than we often think. And that's what leads to people trying to hold in their message, having a feeling of lack of competition. And others sense that, and they don't want to help you. If you're not generous, people really don't want to help you. So if your message is great, this is totally calling on Seth Godin, right? Yeah. If you really have a great idea, don't be afraid to let it spread. And the faith you have is that with a really, really fantastic idea, the market's really going to come to you, and then you have to know how to capitalize well on those people who do come.
Okay, so I like what you just said, to capitalize well on the people that do come. How do you do that?
I think you need to have very clear calls to action. And you need to make it very clear, if you're an author, for example, that you have a book to sell. So you need to have a well-designed site where people can clearly go on your book page and see really great information. And you, on your services page, want to clearly say what it is that you do. Have offers that make sense to your ideal market so that you make it easy for people to buy from you. You can borrow all the good standard wisdom about having a really clear sales copy, having clear offers. Also, when you are blogging, even though, as I said before, you don't want to be constantly, you know, pitching ideas, because blog culture is such that people are really going for great ideas. But for example, if you are a consultant, or you are a coach, or you are a software developer, whatever your area of expertise is, in your articles, in your blog posts, if you are referring to the work that you do, saying, hey, I was talking to a client the other day and this scenario came out, you're planting the seed with people that you do indeed sell something, that you are a professional and that you sell something. You don't need to shy away from that. It's just not making every blog post a sales pitch. So I think when you're clear as to how do you describe yourself, when people go to your bio page, you know, what do they see? Do you clearly describe the things that you do? And for your services page, do you have really clear, compelling offers that really utilize the best of sales copy technique and, you know, having the right price point for the market? It makes it really easy for people to buy when they're ready to. And I have that kind of scenario happening all the time for people who may have been on my newsletter list for 3 years, who finally decide they want some coaching. Once they do, they know what that clear path is. They just go to the coaching tab and, you know, they know how to buy the package and do it.
Okay. So you're working on your next book, and looking towards that, what would you say you're thinking you're going to do to help the sales of that book? You know, you've already got one that did well and is doing well. You know, with all the changes since you started 5 years ago, what are you looking at over the next couple of years as you develop your next book and it gets on the market and starts selling, that you're going to do to market that book and spread your message further?
A couple things. One of them is just the focus of the book. The next book that I'm writing is definitely springing from the work that I've done in Escape, of helping people really to feel strong and clear with moving forward and starting a business or in starting a social movement or, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to do. A lot of people really get tripped up and lack confidence, or they know that they want to do something, but they just don't really know what are the steps to actually get out there and act on it. And so that kind of message is definitely more of a broadly targeted message that is applicable to people that are inside and outside of corporations. Obviously, choosing Escape from Cubicle Nation as the name of my book does not make me the most attractive person to hire as a speaker for a large corporation, as it should be. I wanted to write that book. It is a book that is serving my people, and it serves a very particular need, and I'm very proud of it. And I know that there's a lot of things now that I've learned in working with my market and that build on work that I've done for the last almost 15 years that are going to be more applicable to a broader market, which can be a lot more easily saleable in large speaking engagements where people can purchase large quantities of the books, right? That's mm-hmm. often part of what you negotiate for speaking, that also can make it more relevant and attractive to people who are not considering starting a business. because it's really looking at the roots of what people need to do, even if they're going within a corporate career track. So it's choosing a message. I think it's critical in many ways when you think about maybe what might be a signature book or a signature piece of work. That can be a great place to go and demonstrate that you can do something really good and really strong. And then the next book, if you can leverage on that and broaden your market so that your message can be applied to many different markets, I think that that's really useful, and that's definitely part of what I'm doing. The other thing is just learning more and more from other authors about what's working, what's a way, you know, to build relationships with people that are doing the book marketing totally effectively. I think this next time around, I won't have a little tiny baby at home. You know, I had my son Josh when I started my blog. I had my daughter Angela, who was 3 months old as I was negotiating the book deal. And so I very consciously made choices to not totally stress myself out, because from my own life design perspective, I will not make that choice. I wouldn't sacrifice, you know, sleep or time with my family in order just to push my book, you know, to number one on the New York Times list or something. But where I write a book that I'm really proud of, which is what my goal is for this next book, I'm definitely going to be looking at some strategies to help accelerate the process of having it do as well as it possibly can. And that's a really important thing that I want to stress for people. Is there is not just one way to feel like you really have success with your book, and there's different ways you can leverage books, depending upon what your strategy is, into other parts of your business, where if you're a consultant, that can really help to, you know, get huge consulting contracts, it can really help in your speaking career, it can open a lot of doors. And I think many authors, and understandably, publishing houses want their authors to sell well. We all really want to sell well, but that's not the only reason to be writing a book. And so when you're conscious about what is your strategy at any given time, that's going to mean your tactics are going to be a little bit different.
I appreciate you doing this interview and sharing some of what you learned with your book launch. Do you have anything else you would like to add to authors that are trying to get their foot in the door and get started?
I would say wherever you go, there you are. You know, and a lot of people will think about creating their platform and a blog and being active on Twitter and so forth once the book is actually done. I know what it takes to write a book, and it's a really tough process. But it will be so, so much harder to market it if you don't already have a relationship with people. So if you are new to a lot of these tools and you haven't done it before, if you haven't spoken a lot, if you're not really well known in your ecosystem and you haven't built relationships with key people, don't worry about it. You know, it's okay if you haven't started up to now, but start now, even in a small way. And don't think about it as a channels in order for you to be marketing your book. Think about it as ways that you can build a really strong relationship with people who are truly going to appreciate the content that you have in your book. And that's really what it's about.
Okay. Well, Pam, thanks for doing this. And you can find Pam's writings at escapefromcubiclenation.com and buy her book while you're there. So thanks, Pam.
Thank you.